How many of you already know what's in Daniel chapter 3? Right? We know what's there. We kind of talked about Babylon this morning, and it's a very common, well-known event in the Bible. You see, when Israel was taken to Babylon, exiled, they took the best and the brightest. Those who were capable, those who were industrious, they would take them. Now, they left behind all the derelicts. And so Israel just, you know, the people that were left behind, they could do what they wanted to, but they had taken all of the brilliance, if you will, out of Israel. Among those were three men that we know by their Chaldean names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to preface this by saying, I know in light of current events that you may say, well, he's trying to say something political. Well, it may be. I cannot tell you what to take from this text, but I'm going to tell you that right now you and I have got to decide how far we're willing to go. And so this is not an indictment on any particular politician or administration, but it is a statement that we as Christians need to decide right now, before it's time, how far we'll go. I did not make any of this up. It's all in Daniel chapter 3. What you draw out of it is up to you. And I pray that God will guide you and me as we go through this chapter. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Who cares? Right? Let them make all the golden images they want. I don't have to worship it just because they made it. You see how that is? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar's making a golden statue. Who cares? I don't care. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't impact my life. Doesn't matter. Right? That's where it begins. His height was more than 60 cubits. The breadth thereof, 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And we don't care. Verse 2. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of all the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has set up. So the announcement, the invitation goes out to all government leaders. Now, I know, being in Tallahassee, we've got a lot of government employees or retired government employees. And consider that the things that we do could impact our job. The things which we believe could impact our job. Unless we hold that in and don't tell anybody. Which, unfortunately, has become routine. So we don't share our faith because we don't want anybody to scorn us. We don't want to lose our job. Don't want to lose our positions. But here we are, and he says, you're invited to the dedication. How many of us have ever been invited to some kind of government ceremony, and we could care less, but it didn't cost anything, so we went, right? I'll go. No big deal. It's a dedication. They're probably going to have food there, right? Let's go. So we go. No big deal, right? It's just a dedication. It's just a statue. It's just a dedication. Y'all following me so far? Verse 3. So the princes, the governors, the captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together. They all showed up to the dedication of the image. No big deal. Just an image. Doesn't mean anything. By the way, let me say this very clearly. Get out of my sarcasm for just a second. Y'all like sarcasm? I hope so, because it's going to be a lot today. An image has no power. It's just an image. Just they can shape it any way they want to shape it. It has no, there is no life in it. It does nothing. You don't need to be afraid of it. Don't need to be scared of it. Don't need to avoid it. It's just like this hand. It's nothing. Somebody carved it for whatever reason. So it has no value. It has no purpose. Has no point. It's not going to get you. Okay. I don't want to be in its presence because it's evil. It's nothing. It's gold. Okay. So they gathered to the dedication, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up, right? No big deal. Right? We're all there. We're enjoying each other's company, having a big time, eating some food, and having a good time. No big. Oh, look at that. Yeah, that's, boy, isn't that big? Huge. Look at that. Golly. I bet that took a lot of gold. Wonder how long it took to make that. Wonder what it's really all about. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me. Right? I'm just coming for the party, and I'm going to go back to my office and back to my house, and it's no big deal. Who cares what the king does to entertain himself? Verse 4, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image. Hold on a second. It's no longer just his entertainment, is it? It's no longer just for his kicks. It's no longer just a festival. It's no longer just a fellowship. It's no longer just a gathering. You see, now we've reached another level. So all these people are gathered. By the way, when the invitation went out, did it say anything about this part? No. I say invitation, it was an order, but you understand what I'm saying. So now we're here. What do we do when the music sounds? What do? Do we fall down and worship? Or do we take a stand? Well, hold on a second. If I take a stand, I'm going to be an outcast because everybody else has fallen down. If I take a stand, I'm going to be a rebel. I'm going to be ostracized. I'm going to be the one that loses my job. I'm going to be the one whose family is now a social outcast. Because I wouldn't fall down and worship the image. What do I do? Does anybody else think this is foolish? Does anybody else want to resist this? Or am I going to be doing it all by myself? Do we go along to get along? Because everybody else is doing it? Is that what we do? Well, I could just fall down and worship. Or I could just take a stand, right? By the way, if any of you have already gotten out of joint and mad at me, you're looking at it from the wrong direction. I'm not talking about what's already happened. I'm talking about what's coming. Some of you say, well, Pastor, you're already taking a stand and being an outcast and being a rebel and resisting. Yeah, that's true. Because I think in America, the government needs to know its place. And they've lost that. We don't have kings and rulers. They're not leaders. They're servants. And they're supposed to do what we want them to do. Now, you say, well, it's not just what you want. It's Republican, it's representative, and it's Democratic and all those things. You're right. You're right. And that's the reason that I'm sounding the alarm again, that we need to decide now which side we're going to be on. We need to decide right now when the cornet and the flute and the psaltery and the dulcimer start to play. Sister Lana, don't you be playing that dulcimer. When they start playing the music and say, fall down and worship, are you going to take a stand? Well, so far I've gone along with everything, so I can't stop now. No, you showed up to see the golden statue, and it didn't matter. You showed up and saw all your friends, and that didn't matter. You ate the food. You drank the drink. That's okay. At some point, you've got to be willing to say, I won't fall down. I won't worship. I won't get on my knees before this God, this idol. I won't do it. Guys, we have to open our eyes and see what calendar we're in, what days we're living in, knowing what's happened in the Middle East, knowing what's happened in Israel, knowing what's happened around the world. Open your eyes and see the signs of the time. Redemption draweth nigh. Now, by the way, we haven't reached the end of the order. There's one more thing in verse 6. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Okay, so let me establish this first. It's the law. I'm a law-abiding citizen. But when they pass a law, number one, that's anti-constitutional, and that's not a biblical thing, that's an American thing. Or they pass a law that says, I've got to do something that goes against God, I'll be an outlaw. I've already made that decision. And when they say, come and look at the golden statue, okay, it's a golden statue. That didn't hurt anybody. And when they say, fall down and worship it, I'm not falling down. Guys, slowly in our country, we've gone from just seeing things to accepting things to now being forced to embrace things that I'm not willing to embrace. I'm not willing to overlook everything God said. And by the way, what America used to say, to embrace the culture that many in our country now are trying to force on us. I won't do it. I'll stand on the outside. And you have to be willing to face the consequences. Because the cancel culture is real. You remember that? They came for the baker, but I wasn't a baker. And they came for the banker, but I wasn't a banker. And so I didn't jump to their defense, and I didn't stand up for them. And then eventually, who did they come for? And we are in that pattern. And they can cancel. I don't want to make this, again, about current events. They can cancel all this stuff, but understand, at some point, they're coming for your Bible. At some point, they're coming for your church. By the way, this is not just a government thing. This is a cultural thing. They sued that baker out there in the West. That was not the government suing him. That was individuals suing him because he wouldn't bake them a cake, like they couldn't go to Publix or something. It was to prove a point. It was to quash a faith. It was to force him to do something that he had decided he didn't want to do, falling down and worshiping the image, and there were consequences, lots of consequences. What am I saying? I'm just saying you got to decide. We've got to decide how far we're going to go. How far are we going to go along with what they, oh, well, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't, okay, all right, okay. But this is just another step. Get you another step closer, and then at some point they're going to sound the trumpet, and you better bow. And if you don't, there'll be consequences. Choose. Make your decision today. We better decide how far we're willing to go. By the way, look what happened in verse 7. They sounded the music, and everybody fell. When all the people heard the sound, they fell down and worshiped the golden image. But you know, there were some brown shirts in the group. Yeah, that's an old term. There were some in the group that said, we're going to tell the government you didn't bow. We're going to tell the government you didn't fall down and worship the golden image. That doesn't sound familiar at all, does it? I can tell you how familiar it is. Somebody said they would do that to this church a year ago if we didn't comply with unconstitutional rules. By the way, we've been open the whole time, and nobody's gotten sick in this building from the coronavirus. Nobody has. We didn't stop having church. We discouraged attendance of those who had compromised immune system, and I don't criticize anybody for staying away. And we've still got families that aren't here because of compromise. I get it. That's a health thing. If this church right now stands up and makes a motion that we close down for a month to be safe and somebody seconds it and the church votes to do it, that's fine. That's a church decision. But I am against the government telling the church they can't meet. It's unconstitutional. I won't bow. I know we're past that. I know we're a year. That stuff's behind us. But what I'm saying is all across this country, this has been challenged for a year, and they sounded the music, and if you didn't bow down, you were the bad guy. By the way, so were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and George Washington, and Ben Franklin, and Paul Revere. Take it for what it's worth. Well, you can vote in the church to fire the preacher if you want to. There are consequences for our actions. There are consequences for our words. I believe everybody in this room and everybody who's watching online understands what's at stake. Guys, I'm not saying every law is wrong. I believe you ought to obey the stop sign. I know you thought I was going to say speed limit, but I didn't. Listen, we ought to abide. The laws are there for our protection as well as others. But we're going in a direction right now in this country and worldwide that you've got to decide today if you're going to bow when the music sounds. We've got to decide today. Why? Because once everybody starts falling around us, what are we going to do? I don't know if I can, should I fall down? I don't know. Is it okay? Decide today that you're going to take a stand. Oh, but there were some in the crowd that, oh, you're not standing. I mean, you're not bowing. You didn't fall down with the music. And they went and reported and said, they didn't fall down with the music. And the king got mad and he said, everybody's got to fall down with the music. Everybody's got to worship the golden image. And so he called those three in. And that's where we come in verse number 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm feeling pretty generous today. I'm going to give you another shot. We're going to just forget that you didn't fall down last time. But next time that music sounds, you're going to have to fall down. Oh, what a gracious king. You see, he's not against our religion. He's not trying to suppress my faith. Look, he's giving me another chance. I'm so tempted, but I won't. Hey, let me just say it this way. You do understand what Independence Day stands for, right? That's all I'm going to say about that. The king decided to give him a second chance. And look at what he says at the end of verse 15. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Do you really believe? I want you to know something. I really believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell and a real Savior who's forgiven my sins. That song I sung just a second ago, I have to change words sometimes in songs because it's just not exactly true. And it says, it covered my sin. Guys, in the Old Testament, he covered sin. In the New Testament, he cleanses sin. My sin's not covered up. My sin's not written in a book and the book closed. My sin's off the page. Because that's what the blood of Jesus did for me. Washed my sins away. Cleansed me of all my sin. Just as he does you if you put your faith in him. We've got to decide, do we really believe it matters? Do we really believe that God cares? Well, they said, King, verse 16, we're not careful to answer you. We're not going to beat around the bush. We're not going to play coy with you. Let us just be straight. We're not going to bow down. He said, throw us in the fire. If that's what you want to do, throw us in the fire. So, okay. But understand something. If you don't throw us in the fire, we're not going to change our mind because you are gracious. We're not going to decide it's not a big deal and say, well, we'll just go along and get along. We're not going to do it. So you might as well just decide to throw us in that fire. Oh, and they said this, and our God is able to deliver us. We're able to go in and come out the other side. It's up to you what you want to do, King, but I'm telling you, you're on the wrong side of this. So what'd he do? Oh, he got mad. He said, tie him up. They tied him up. Throw him in the, he said, heat it up. Heat that fiery furnace up. They heated it up. How do you heat it up? You throw more fuel on it. Right? I mean, you ever been around a fire that wasn't so hot? You ever been around a fire that was hot, hot, hot? So it can be done. You say, well, fire is fire. No, you don't know anything about fire then. You can heat it up. They heated it up 7 times hotter. So much of the guys that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the furnace died. They were overcome by the heat and they died. Just getting close to it. They threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Tied up. Right? Don't you imagine everybody was watching that? Everybody was watching that and said, oh, those boys, they should have just bowed. They should have just, I mean, what would it hurt? It's not a real God. It doesn't change it. Just fall. Just go say, God, I don't really mean this. Lord, I'm not really bowing to this. I'm just doing this to get along. Uh-uh. No, they said, we won't bow. King, we won't bow. Threw them in the fire. Y'all know the rest of the story, don't you? I don't have to tell it. Did not we throw 3 men bound into the burning, fiery furnace? They said, verse 24, last phrase, true. That's true, O king. And he said, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth has the form like the Son of God. Some of you have been in the fire with Jesus before, haven't you? Some of you are walking through the fire right now with Jesus. Let me tell you something. He's going to be there. We put our confidence in Him and His faith in Him. I know it gets hard. I know it gets hot. I know it gets weary. I know you're weary. Jesus is in the midst. You're not walking alone. There's 4 of them in there. And none of them are bound. The heat's dying down to where they heated it up. The king gets close enough to holler in there and say, you boys come out of there. And they did. Verse 27, the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors being gathered together saw these. Listen, it was everybody that had bowed to that golden image was still there. And they all watched these 3 be thrown in the furnace. And they all watched these 3 walk out of the furnace. Guys, that's a testimony. When we go through the fire, it's a testimony. People are watching us. People are seeing us. I can't control how they interpret what they see. All I can control is my walk with God. What I believe to be true, what I believe to be right, and follow God. Best I can, best I know how. And I can't control what anybody else thinks. Or what that testimony says. But I could tell you, the testimony that these 3 men had when they came out of that fire, all those people were just amazed. It says, upon whose bodies, this is verse 27, the fire had no power. The fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, neither the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like it. Now, by the way, let me say this. This is an incredible, unbelievable story. And it's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. It really happened. Guys, don't start allowing people to tell you these things are just parables. They're just stories. No, this is history. This is real event. Those 3 men went in the fire, tied up, and came out loose. And when they came out, they didn't have different clothes on. Their hair wasn't singed. They didn't smell like smoke, didn't smell like fire. And Nebuchadnezzar spake in verse 28 and said, "Now I know what God will deliver you." "Who is that God that shall deliver you from me?" Now he knows. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." Guys, that's where we are. We've got to put our trust in him. I don't know what the future holds for us in this country. I like to think we're going to enjoy the same freedom that's been celebrated and fought for and blood's been shed for. I'd like to think that we're going to have those freedoms right up to the moment where the Lord takes us out of here. I love that idea. But I see the patterns before us, and I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. They won't shut the churches down. They'll let you have church as long as you preach approved messages. Pastor, where do you get that? I'll tell you where. History. United Soviet Socialist Republic. And they didn't close down the churches as long as the preachers agreed to preach what the government told them to. Most of what we preach would be fine with the government. But there are a few things that the Bible teaches that the government's not going to tolerate. Maybe we get there, maybe we don't. I don't know. Guys, that's not the point. The point is, what are we going to do when they tell us we must bow? We're going to bow? They saw the statue, no big deal. They saw the festival, no big deal. And then the music sounded, and if they didn't bow, they'd get thrown into the fiery furnace. And you know what they said? "Throw us in." I got news for you guys. I know what happens if I get burned up and die. And I can tell you what happens to those that don't believe. That fire is going to last forever. I don't want to be in that boat. Well, you see, we've turned a corner here. He said they trusted him and God delivered them. And he says, "have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own." You see, there were probably some people in that group that had other religions. And you know what they said? "Well, it won't conflict with our religion if we add one more religion." Let me tell you something. We don't have a variety of religions. There is one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's Bible. You say, that's your opinion. No, that's Scripture. There's one way to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's narrow. Is that narrow? Verse 29, "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak any amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces." This was a vicious fellow, wasn't it? "If you don't serve my God, you go in the fiery furnace." Now he's stepped it up a bit and he said, "Now if you say anything bad about these guys, we're going to cut you and chop you up in little tiny pieces. And their houses will be made a dunghill." Look at this. Wait. "Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Wow. He's a convert, isn't he? You see, a righteous testimony persuades others. But compromised convictions destroys confidence. What do you believe? Are you willing to stand on it? Are we going to compromise and say, "Well, Jesus is one way"? Well, he is one way, the only way. He's not one among many. I don't say that to demean anybody else, but if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to get in. That puts us on us. We need to tell them. We need to show them the way. Well, you can't be so narrow-minded that you don't accept other people's religions. I didn't talk about religion. I talked about a Savior. We need a Savior. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. You see, I realized I was a sinner. I realized I offended God. And God sent His only begotten Son to die on that cross to forgive my sins and yours, if you believe. But you got to decide now. Decide now. Will you follow God? Will you accept Christ as your Savior? There's coming a time in your life when you're going to have to decide whose side you're on. I'm not talking about my side. I'm talking about God's side. Will we compromise? Will we falter? Or will we stand true? No matter the consequences. Let's stand. Father, we pray that you will take this time, this message, and draw us to you. That you will teach us your ways. That you will show us what we need to be doing. God, that we will have a backbone. That we will take a stand. That we'll not be persuaded, no matter how much pressure is placed on us. We'll not compromise our faith. Our faith. I know there are lots of topics and lots of ideas about things that we disagree on. We're not talking about those little things. God, we need to be warned, and we take that warning to heart this morning. There may come a time when our choice must have been made because we won't be ready in that moment to decide. We must decide now. Draw us to you. Forgive our sins. Make us useful to your purpose. Dismiss us now with your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.